Church. Good morning from wherever you are joining us from, anywhere around our region, around the nation, or around the world. I'd love it if you could join us today by dropping in the comments where you're joining us from. I do devotions all week long, and it's fascinating to see who from around the world joins us to be encouraged and to hear the Word of God. So if you could let us know right now where you're joining us from. Number one, it's fascinating. It helps us connect with each other. It helps us know who we're serving. And it also allows us to reach more people through these services each and every Sunday. As you comment, react, and share, it allows us to reach more people with the good news of Christ. I was thinking about something this morning. And what I was thinking about this morning was that we don't know what we don't know. And what I have found about COVID-19 is that it's exposed how polarized our nation is. It's exposed how we can often make things that are not the main thing the main thing, and we can forget to focus on the main thing, even as Christians and even as the church, which is Christ. And so I started to think about how throughout this crisis that we're all going through, 1 week we'll get some information that we're supposed to follow, and then next week, all of a sudden, the information we got is not right anymore. And it just piggybacks over and over again on top of each other, and you kind of just don't know what we don't know. And we've learned that there's a lot we don't know in the world. There's a lot we don't know about viruses and about pandemics and about finances and government. There's just a lot of things we don't know. And as I was wrestling with that this morning, you know, what should I believe? What should I know? God reminded me there is something you can know. There is a hope that you can have. And hope is the assurance. Hope is expecting something, the assurance of something that will definitely happen. And so what I know is this. What I know is that God created the heavens and the earth. What I know is that God loves us. What I know is that God sent his son Jesus to live for us. What I know is that God sent his son Jesus to die for us. What I know is that Jesus came to die for you and die for me. And what I know is that Jesus rose from the grave. What I know is that through his life, death, and resurrection, my sins can be forgiven, my relationship with God restored, the gift of God's Spirit living within me is given, and I am able to walk in everlasting life and love and relationship with my Creator, with the Lord Jesus Christ. What we know is this. What we know is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What we know is that God gives this wonderful gift of grace for us, pours it out on us through his life, death, and resurrection to be saved from our sins, saved from the devil, saved from the world, saved from ourselves, and saved from death and hell. What I know is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord belongs to the church. What I know is the church is that it's the body and the bride of Jesus. It's comprised of every believer on the planet who confesses that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead. What I know is that church is diverse. What I know is that church has all sorts of different opinions about open-handed issues. But I know that the church can, should, and will rally around what's most important. And what's most important is Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Apostle Paul said, "When I was among you, I confessed to know no other thing but Christ and him crucified." And so I understand there's a lot to get worked up about right now. I understand there's a lot to be discouraged by. I understand that there is a temptation to put your hope in fear. But I want to be someone who tells you today that let's keep our eyes on the main thing, Christ and him crucified. You may not know what doctors don't know. You may not know what the government does not know. You may not know what your banker does not know, but you can know that you have salvation through Christ alone, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection. Would you pray with me this morning? God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for its truth. As we begin to open your word, I pray, Lord Jesus, that your word would begin to open us. God, I don't stand here today to tell anybody anything that they don't know. I just stand here today as a messenger to tell them what you know, to tell them what your word says, God. Lord, your word tells us that it will go out and it won't return void. So as your word goes out this morning, whosever ears this word falls on, I pray, God, that your word would take root and grow and flourish in our hearts. God, as your word flourishes in our hearts with the light and with the truth, I ask in Jesus' name that it would choke out any fear. I ask that your word would choke out any feeling of inadequacy. I pray that your word would choke out any condemnation. Lord Jesus, I pray that your word would choke out any bitterness, aggression, God. And I pray that your word would grow within us and it would bear the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So Lord, give us those things. We ask for those things today. We ask for your word to grow, and we ask for it to bear fruit in our lives, fruit that will be able to make an impact on the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you again so much for joining us today. Thank you, Aubrey, for leading us in worship. Thank you, Hannah, for singing. Tim, for playing the bass, and then Ryan Carney for getting really aggressive on the drums. And I'm so excited for you to be with us in person again, because you would have been rocking out in praise and in worship with those of us who are gathered here today to minister to you at home. And so wherever, again, you're joining us from, let us know. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to wrap up a series that we're in right now called InstaSham. We've been in this series now for 2 weeks. And there is a scripture that has been our theme passage for this entire series. And the passage is 1 John chapter 1, specifically 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And I would love for you to do something with me, not for me, but with me. I would love for you at home, wherever you are, to read this verse out loud with me. And I'll read it slow. It'll be on the screen so you can read along. Could you read it out loud with your spouse, your friend, your roommate, your significant other, your kids, whoever you're with, even if you're by yourself? I think there's something powerful and tangible about reading God's word aloud. So would you read this word with me today? 1 John 1, verse 5 through 10, the Apostle John, he's writing this. He says, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So let's talk about that word, and let's wrap up this series looking at a few verses within that passage of Scripture today. Before we get into the two verses we're going to be focusing on, I just want to give you kind of a recap of what we've talked about so far, because this could have been just one message, but I wanted to get the point across that we need to quit living an InstaSham life and start living a life of truth, of light, and of vulnerability and authenticity. And so we've discussed how our culture is obsessed with perfection. And we, as people, we manufacture perfection in order to stand out, in order to fit in, and in order to be accepted. We use filters. We put on masks in order to cover up our flaws, in order to show just how put together we really are. How many of you are super put together? I know I am, right? Like we're always put together. And so we've got to wear that mask, put on that filter to show how put together we are. And so the message that it sends, and this has been the big idea for the series, the message that this InstaSham way of life sends is this: that it's not okay to not be okay. So pretend like you're okay okay? How many of you feel like that's the message that's betrayed to you constantly? It's not okay to not be okay, so pretend that you're okay, okay? And you got to step back and say, that's not okay. We can't live like that. I want you to know today, if you're just watching this series for the first time, it's okay to not be okay. You're in good company. It's okay to not be okay. And if you've got people that you watch in your life on your Instagram feed or that you perceive in your community that you think they've got it together and they're okay, let me tell you, let me be the first to tell you, they don't have it together and they're not okay, because it's okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to stay there. You see, each and every one of us can come to God just as we are. We can come to God with all of our flaws, all of our mistakes, all of our sin, all of our shortcoming. And he loves us enough to accept us, to come to him, but he also loves us enough to not let us stay there. So we come to God just as we are, but he loves us enough not to let us stay there. He wants to take us from imperfect to forgiven. God wants to take you from forgiven to progressing. And so last week, we looked at the first step of progressing, the first step of giving up the Insta-sham life, removing the filter, and admitting that you don't have it all together. We looked at what it meant to admit our faults. We looked at what it meant to admit our weaknesses and to admit the sins in our lives, mainly to ourselves. We talked about how those things, those imperfections, those things we struggle with, our weaknesses, our sins, those things grow and they flourish in the dark. We talked about that, remember? That sin, that weakness, that bad things grow and flourish in the dark. But those things' power is taken away when we recognize the truth. Those things' power is taken away when we bring those things into the light. And we understood and we talked about last week that when we bring things into the light and when we acknowledge the truth, that Jesus tells us that the truth sets us what? The truth sets us free. And so we kind of wrapped up last week with this idea that a simple act of self-discovery, a simple act of acknowledging what's going on, a simple act of acknowledging yourself truth can bring a great amount of healing, can really allow you to begin to tackle the things that are tackling you. So we encouraged you to do a few things last week. Do you remember what some of those things were? We encouraged you to discover your weakness. Discover the weakness inside of your heart. We encouraged you to acknowledge what that weakness is. So you search for it. You ask God to search your heart. You find the weakness. And then you acknowledge it. This is my weakness. This is my struggle. This is my sin. This is the evil within me. And then we discussed and we asked you to repent of that. Repentance is just simply acknowledging that was wrong. That was not healthy. And instead, I'm going to turn away from that thing and I'm going to turn towards God. So discover, acknowledge, repent. And then I asked you to bring that thing to God. So you repent of it and bring it to God. Here it is, God. And you ask for God to then bring you healing for bringing it to him and handing it to him as he partners with you and heals you and forgives you and moves you again from imperfect to forgiven and forgiven to progressing. And so with that recap, here's what I want to talk about today. What we've talked about so far is not the end of the line. What we've talked about so far is not where this thing all stops and we're all good. What that means is that just simply understanding that it's okay to not be okay is not as far as you need to get. Just understanding that God doesn't want you to stay not okay is not as far as we need to come in this series. Just understanding that you can come to God just as you are and God will accept and receive you and knowing that he'll love you enough not to leave you there, that's amazing, that's great, that's a start, that's a process, that's a step, but it's not the end of the line for this series. Just discovering and acknowledging and repenting of our own sins to ourselves. Just discovery. Just dealing with these things. Just me and God. That's awesome, me and God. But just me and God isn't enough. There's one more step that we need to tackle before we move on to our next series. And there's one more step in the progression. And so would you look with me at 1 John 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 is the verse that we will kind of focus on today. And then we'll wrap up the time with verse number 9. So let's read verse 7 together. It should be up on the screen in front of you, whether you're on your phone, your tablet, your television, or your computer. John says this, if we walk in the light, meaning if we walk in the truth, if we walk in acknowledgement, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Remember, we've talked about before that Jesus, the Bible describes him as light, and Jesus himself is the truth. Truth and light are synonymous with one another. So when we walk in the truth as Jesus is the truth, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Now, typically within Christianity and within the church, we look at this passage of Scripture and we focus only on one part. The part that we focus on is the part that says the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. And so we say, okay, we're going to walk in the light as God is in the light so that our sins can be forgiven. But I want you to know today that God wants to progress you far beyond just your sins being forgiven. I want to ask you, did you catch the first part? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, it says we have fellowship with one another. Did you catch that? Because we only usually focus, we only usually highlight or underline or put in bold print that the blood of Jesus forgives us from sins. But before being forgiven from our sins, it actually says then we have fellowship with one another. And here's what I want you to know. When you put on a filter, when you wear a mask, when you keep things in the dark, here's something that might surprise you. Other people can sense it. Other people, they can tell something's off. Something's not right. Anybody with just a lick of discernment can understand that when you're hiding something, even though in their brain they might not acknowledge it, in their heart they know something is just a little off. You ever had a friend or an acquaintance, a coworker, a family member who hid something from you? And it may have not even been a sin against you, but they were hiding something. It may have been something totally not to do with you at all and just about themselves, but they were hiding something about their lives. They were keeping something behind a mask, behind a filter, in the dark, and you could just sense that something was not right. And it was almost like you didn't really know that person. You see, not only do these kind of things grow and flourish in the dark, but they also create walls between us and others. And so I want you to know that the sins that you're hiding, your struggles that you're hiding, your weaknesses that you're hiding, things that aren't even sin, things like depression or anxiety, things like fear, those things that we try to hide and shove and push down, it doesn't just grow and flourish when you push it down, but it actually creates a barrier between you and the people you're trying to have relationship with in your life. You see, Genesis chapter 2 says something very interesting about the creation of mankind, about the creation of Adam and Eve, man and woman. The very last line of the creation account, it says that they were both naked with no shame. What does that mean, to be naked with no shame? To be naked with no shame means that you have fellowship with one another, face to face, no barrier, no wall, heart to heart, hand in hand, fully knowing and being known. And so we're supposed to live in fellowship. We're supposed to live naked with no shame. But instead, what we do is we cover ourselves up in shame. What did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? Well, they covered themselves with clothing. The covering of themselves, it wasn't like they acknowledged, like, oh, us being naked is sinful. It was going deeper than that. It was going below, deep into their heart that, whoa, now we've got to hide. And because we are completely exposed and naked with shame, we need to hide our shame by covering ourselves up. And so we cover up our shame. And when we cover up our shame, we then struggle to truly know each other. And as a result, we actually have very little fellowship with one another. Fellowship is like hearty friendship, real friendship, vulnerable friendship. A lot of you have acquaintances within the church, but very few of you have fellowship with others, because fellowship means naked, no shame, face to face, no secrets, no filters, no masks. And when we do this, when we have relationships with people like this, what's actually going on is we can see the surface. We can see the surface, what they want to portray to us. Study of neurology shows that it's typically about 5% of a person that we're even aware of ourselves, let alone aware of others, but it's 95% of the iceberg below the water that's really directing and guiding our lives. And so we're able to see the surface, but not the heart. And the heart is the center of human relationship. And so when we hide our hearts in the dark, we're unable to truly walk in the light of authentic, vulnerable, loving relationship. Now, here's where my heart and your heart are starting to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's something that this pastor, there's something that Anthony's not addressing. There's something he's not thinking about, because you see, what he doesn't understand right now is that no one would love me if they knew what was really going on in here. No one would love me if they knew what was going on in here. If somebody knew who I really was, I wouldn't have any friends, my family would abandon me, and so I need to actually keep this stuff in the dark. And so this InstaSham series, it's nice, it brings me a little bit of feeling good about myself, it gives me some platitudes so I can just kind of get through my week, but I want you to know that there are some people that are watching me right now and listening to my voice live, later, whenever. You're wearing masks and it's time to take them off. You've got a filter up that you need to put to the side. You're hiding something in the dark that God's calling you to bring into the light. And I want you to know that real love will not reject. But when you hide, when you cover, you're actually asking people to reject you, because they're not able to actually receive the real you, because they don't even know who you really are. So what I want is I want people to love me and not my filter. You see, so many of you, you portray that Instagram life. You portray that amazing, perfect Facebook profile picture. Your LinkedIn account is on point because you've got your professional headshot that you paid $200 for. Your YouTube, the video that plays when you go onto your page, it's the one that is the most perfect, the most put together, the best edited thing you've ever done before. But I want people to love me, and that's what we all want. I know that God loves me, but I want people to love me. I don't want people to love me because of what they perceive me to be. I want people to love me for who I actually am. If someone doesn't love you because of your struggles, then that's not love. If someone doesn't love you with your weakness, that's not true love. If someone doesn't love you with the things that you wrestle with, that's probably someone that you don't really need in your life. Someone that doesn't love you for who you are, that's someone that you probably don't need to be in relationship with to begin with. That doesn't mean you shouldn't love that person. It doesn't mean that you can't try to work through that or reconcile that. But I just want you to know that real love and real people who love you, they love you for being a real person and for being who you are. And there is nothing more annoying than obnoxiously fake people. Obnoxiously fake people. You don't really go around quoting Bible verses every time you talk to someone. You don't really try to impress people with your Bible knowledge or no, just quit being weird. Take off the mask. Take off the filter. You're not impressing anyone. I happen to be a pastor. And when I go about my daily life, the last thing I want anybody in the world to know is that I am a pastor, because once they find out I am, it's like, whoosh, mask, filter, quick, the pastor's around, act like you're perfect. And I'm like, dude, you're in the presence of someone just as imperfect as you are, who's just simply encountered the grace of God. And it's not by anything I'm doing or who I am or what my job happens to be that I'm any more significant than you are. So drop the act. Some people sometimes they'll slip up and they'll use a curse word around me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, my wife uses those all the time. And no, I'm kidding. So she's here. So like, you're not impressing me. You can just be a real person around me. And so people at your work, they might find out you're a Christian or you're a church person. Like, oh, we apologize. But listen, allow people to be themselves in front of you. If you want people to actually get a hold of Jesus, and more importantly, if you want people to have Jesus get a hold of them, then they need to know that they can be just as they are before you, before they're ever going to understand they can be who they are before Jesus. And you are actually prohibiting some people from encountering Jesus by the masks that you wear, because Jesus wants them as they are, not who they pretend to be. And so drop the act, like Zacchaeus. Get down from the tree. Get down off your high horse. I'm coming to your house for tea. Let's be real. Have open, trusting, authentic vulnerability between one another. So we need people to love and to accept one another for who we are, struggles and all. And we need to help each other progress from imperfect to forgiven, and from forgiven to progressing, and from progressing, walking with Jesus in his perfection, and not our own, and not the perfection that we try to portray. So let's wrap this up. Just like keeping these things in the dark are enslaving to us, just like these things grow and flourish in the dark when we don't expose them to the light, when we refuse to acknowledge and discover these things ourselves and before God, you see, our sin, our struggles, we've mentioned this four times now. They grow, they flourish in the dark when we don't acknowledge it ourselves and when we don't acknowledge it before God. But I want you to know it's the same when we refuse to acknowledge these things with others. You see, if we hide things from others, if we wear masks and filters in front of others, it doesn't just prevent fellowship. We said, you know, and we'll have fellowship. It doesn't just prevent fellowship, friends. When you hide things from others, it actually prevents your own healing. Because you actually can't heal by yourself. You can't process your own life or thoughts by yourself. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Neurologically, you and I were created to process, to have relationship, to understand truth with each other. There's actually no such thing as self-help. It's not possible to help yourself. And though I would say, yeah, it's possible for God to help me, but that's not how God created you. God created you for others to help you. So I would say it's not possible for you to help yourself. It's not possible for just God to help you. And I only can say that because that's not how God made you. You have to get help for yourself with the help of God in the company and fellowship of other people. That's how life, the brain, the heart, the soul has been created to work. So you see, just like keeping these things in the light, just like repenting of these things, just like walking in the truth to ourselves and before God, just like those things break the power of sin, break the power of our struggles, cleanses us from those things, so too does confessing our sins and our struggles before others. It breaks their power. So if I expose my struggles to myself and acknowledge them, if I expose my struggles to myself and bring them to God and hand them over to God, just like that is so freeing and it breaks the power. I want you to know, some of you have sin in your life that the power has not been completely broken. You've told God, you've acknowledged it to yourself, but you've never shared it with someone else. And because of that, you've never fully received the cleansing that God actually has in store for you. You see, when you share things with others, it brings healing, it brings fellowship, it brings a cleansing of all unrighteousness. There is something so liberating about walking in the light. There's something so liberating about walking in the truth, naked with no shame. So let's look at that second verse today. 1 John chapter 1, now verse 9. As it's on your screen, I'd like you again. I know it sounds cheesy, but it's just you and your family in your house. I want you to read this verse out loud. Read it out loud with me. I'm going to read it slowly. I want you to read this out loud because I really want it to be driven home. And I believe when you speak this with your mouth, it does something inside of your heart. So 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what do we focus on? We always focus on, oh, he's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins. All we need to be is forgiven. But no, friends, remember, God wants to take you from imperfect to forgiven, from forgiven to progressing. And do you know one of the greatest ways to progress is to be cleansed? You see, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. But many of us are walking in sins that we've never been cleansed from. You say, well, Pastor, does that mean God holds those sins against me? No, not at all. But what I'm saying is, the lack of being cleansed, it creates barriers between you and others, and it creates a barrier from you receiving the abundance and the freedom that God actually wants you to possess. And so we don't just need to be forgiven, we need to be cleansed. And the only way to be cleansed is through confession. And that's why I've entitled this message, Confession and Cleansing. If you want to be cleansed, you need to confess. Okay, well, I didn't think we were Catholic. I thought this was a Protestant church. And I would respect greatly the emphasis that people in the Catholic faith have put on confession, but without just full-on judging them, I want to say there's a big problem, and the problem is they think they need to confess to a priest. But our great high priest is Jesus. We can go boldly before the throne of God through Jesus Christ. So you don't need to confess your sins to a priest. Sometimes people who grew up in a Catholic background will come to me and they'll just start randomly confessing sins to me. And I'm like, whoa, I did not need to nor want to know that. I won't think of you any differently, but you don't need to do that. Now, why would I as a pastor say like, hey, dude, you don't need to share that with me? Because where confession counts, where confession matters is before and to those that you love. It's before and to those that you trust. It's before and to those that you walk in relationship with. And I'm glad to have a relationship with people. I'm glad to hear people's struggles. If they need to share something, that's great. But I want you to know, I can't get a sin off your chest. Only God can do that. And when God gets that sin off your chest, if you can begin to walk in the freedom and the light and walk in the freedom of confessing those things before others with no condemnation, with no shame, I'm telling you, there's cleansing and there's a freedom like you've never known before. So you don't walk up to a stranger in the social distanced Walmart, which is way more crowded than before social distanced Walmart, by the way. But you walk into Walmart. You're not going to go like say, hey, I tap you on the back, but I'm 6 feet away. Stranger, can I tell you about my sins? No, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? You don't go through the Dutch Bros drive-thru that has 100 cars in it right now. And once you get up to the front, like, hey, broista or sisterista, can I confess my... You don't confess sins to strangers. You confess sins to people that you love. You confess and share with those you love and those you've wronged. If you've wronged someone, you confess to them. We walk in newfound freedom that comes from walking in the light through our confession. And I want you to know, the bond that gets built between you and someone you love, the bond in relationship that comes from sharing struggles and confessing, that will be far greater than any bond you've ever built in good times. You see, in relationships and in dating, we think that we need to experience all the greatest things together. And when we experience all these wonderful things, we think that those wonderful things will bond us tighter than we've ever been bound before. But I want to use one word for you to tell you that that's actually completely a lie, actually. It's an insta sham. And that word is honeymoon. In marriage, we go on these honeymoons. We have this great, wonderful time. And it's usually for about 3 weeks that marriage is really, 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 really good until it's not. Until the first fight comes, until the first argument comes, until the first disagreement pops out. Sometimes I'll have couples tell me, well, Pastor, we have never fought before. And I'm like, oh, you're in for some serious trouble. Because when the honeymoon is over, things get difficult. Now, am I trying to say that like you should abandon your marriages? Absolutely not. What I'm trying to say is the honeymoon actually did not bond you. The good times, the happy times, the dating times, they didn't bond you as much as the difficult struggles you're going to go through as a married couple. So you're up all night having to feed and change a baby, bonding experience. You go through heartache, through trial, through job loss, through bankruptcy, through house purchases and disappointments and issues and struggles at work and with your adult children and your family and your relatives. I'm telling you, the hard times bond you. And the only way that hard times will be able to bond you is if you share the hard times with others. You see, shared pain breaks the power of pain. Shared shame breaks the power of shame. If we confess our sins, yes, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But if we confess our sins, he is going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it takes real love to connect in adversity. The Bible actually says a brother is born for adversity. And you're like, yeah, my brother and I, we fight all the time. No, that's not what it means. A brother is born for adversity. That means real friends that stick closer than brothers and sisters, even real brothers and sisters that stick close, and their blood, they're thick. They're your ride or die friends. They're not giving up on anything. They were born to go through hell with you. They were born to go through heartache with you. They were born to be with you when you struggled and when you needed them. But how many of you have had people that you thought were your greatest friends that actually abandon you in your greatest time of need? That actually, they actually turn their back on you because you had a struggle. Turn their back on you because you were a real person. Turn their back on you because you sinned and God could forgive you, but they couldn't. Real friends will forgive. Real spouses who really love you will stick with you through adversity. So find people that have got your back and mean it. Find people who are willing to run into the fire for you. Find people who will be there for you when you need them, because those are the people that you will bond and do life with. One more verse, Galatians 6, verse 2. Here's this verse we quote all the time, but let's think of it in the context of 1 John 1. It's Galatians 6, 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is the law of Christ? Does Christ have a law? In fact, he does. We actually find this command in a work that John wrote, John 13, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said to his disciples before his death, "A new command I give to you, a new command I leave with you." Jesus only gives, I'm estimating because I don't have the data in front of me. I think he gives four commands in his ministry. I could be wrong, but I know of two that jump out immediately. One, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Command. This command here. The new command, a new law I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. By this, people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so when we bear one another's burdens, we're following the new command to love one another. We fulfill the law of Christ by carrying each other. We fulfill the law of Christ by bearing each other's burdens. But sometimes we just expect people to bear our burdens, but we don't bear any for them. So ask yourself, you know, are there people right now in my life that are bearing my burdens that have proved to be great friends, that we're bonding through adversity, but I am failing to bear their burdens? So bearing burdens goes both ways. It's reciprocal. And so you don't just get to bear other people's burdens and never have them bear them for you. That's not true love. That's not true brotherhood. That's not true law of Christ. But likewise, you can't have people in your life that you only just run to for help so that they can bear your burdens. And again, you're never willing to bear theirs. Here's what bearing burdens looks like in our lives today. Bearing burdens looks like acknowledging the burden together, confessing the burdens to one another, repenting of the burdens. They're wrong. I want to move in the right direction. Forgiving the burden. Your friend, your spouse, your family member might, after this message, come and confess a wrong that they wronged you with. And so to bear their burden means that you receive it, that you acknowledge their repentance, but really bearing burdens means that you're willing to forgive them of their wrong. To bear one another's burdens is to hold the burdens together. Because again, there's no such thing as self-help. There's no such thing as I will overcome my addiction by myself. That's not how God made us. We actually hold burdens together, acknowledge burdens together, process burdens together, and then together we bring them before God. So last week I told you need to discover your weakness. You need to acknowledge your weakness. You need to repent of your weakness. You need to bring and give your weakness to God. But it wasn't a complete message, because today I want to tell you that's not possible by yourself. Pastor, it's just me and Jesus. No, it's not. Sometimes we talk about heaven like it's just going to be me and Jesus walking on the sand. But it's actually going to be me and Jesus and hundreds of millions of other people. We were created for relationship. And we're going to be in relationship for eternity. And the Bible tells of a crowd around the throne of God, worshiping him. Every nation, tribe, and tongue. It's not going to be just you and Jesus. It's going to be you, Jesus, and the people, the body, the body of Jesus, the church. We're going to be together. And so let's start working toward that now. Holding these things together and together saying, God, here's my brother's addiction. Here's my sister's burden. Here's my brother's sin. And God, I love them. I'm going to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. I'm not going to judge them. I'm going to hold this with them. We're going to get through this together. And when they fall, I'm going to gently pick them back up again. I'm going to bear their burden. They're going to bear my burden. We've got each other's backs. And we're going to bring it to God together. Shared pain breaks the power of pain. Shared shame breaks the power of shame. Real relationships come when we get real with who we are. So, summary, we can't truly progress unless we share the pain and the progression with others. We can't truly progress without fellowship. True fellowship happens in the light. True fellowship happens with gentleness. True fellowship happens by being willing to bear burdens, fully moving away from that insta-sham life, fully living in freedom. And this doesn't just happen when you walk in the light. It doesn't just happen when you walk in the light before God, but it happens when you walk in the light before God with others, because that's how God designed us, and that's how we work. It's not good for man or woman to be alone. So InstaSham, here we are. Have you acknowledged your weaknesses? Have you brought the weaknesses out of the dark? Have you called that weakness for what it is? It's bitterness, it's anger, it's violence, it's hate, it's greed, it's unforgiveness, it's adultery, it's addiction, it's perversion, it's lust, it's covetousness, it's this. Have you acknowledged it and called it out in the light for what it is? Have you brought it before God? Have you brought it before God for forgiveness and for healing? And if so, if you've brought it to God, then who's someone that you need to confess to? Who's someone that you've wronged that you need to confess to? Who is someone that is a brother or a sister that you need to confess to, not to get it off your chest, but for healing and for a building and a bond of a relationship with them? See, you don't just walk alone, but we walk with each other in pain, in progress, in process, in the light. We bond in the fellowship of bearing each other's burdens before God. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. So can we choose as a church? Can we choose today to just drop the InstaSham? Your InstaSham's not fooling anybody. We see your filter. I can detect the mask. Can you drop the Insta-sham life? Can you lay the filter down? Can you take off your mask? Can you come out of the dark? Can you step into the light? In the light, there's love. In the light, there's truth. In the light, there's hope. In the light, there's healing. In the light, there's forgiveness. In the light, that is where you will find life. You can't live in the dark, friends. Your sins, your struggles, your weaknesses, they're growing. They're flourishing in the dark. But in the light, the bond of the weakness is broken. The shackles fall away. You can't allow those things to grow and to fester when they're out in the light. And people can't gossip and point fingers at you if you actually are just walking in confession. This is who I am. This is my struggle. But I know I can't stay here. I know it's okay for me not to be okay, but I know I can't stay here. And that's why I've turned to Jesus, because I can come before Jesus just as I am, and he'll accept me and he'll love me, but he too loves me enough not to keep me there. And so he's going to take me from imperfect to forgiven, from forgiven to progressing, from progressing towards his perfection, not mine, because mine doesn't exist, but it exists in him. So who do you need to confess to today? What do you need to come before God with? What do you need to acknowledge yourself today and bring it out of the dark? Would you, right there in your homes, would you bow your heads and close your eyes and join me in a word of prayer? God, I thank you for each person joining us today, watching or listening later. Holy Spirit, would you come and shine your light of truth in our heart? God, here is our heart. Search it, God. Know our ways. God, if there is any wicked way within us, reveal it to us so we can acknowledge it, Lord. Lord, lead us in your everlasting way. Lead us away from the dark and into the light. God, as you show us, as you help us uncover and discover the weaknesses, the sins, the evil in our heart, Lord Jesus, would you just show it to us right now so we can not just discover it, but acknowledge it. God, here's my sin. Here's my struggle. Here's my shame. Here's my weakness. Right now, Fellowship Church, wherever you are, as your eyes are closed, as you're holding this thing, hold it before God. Acknowledge it before God right now. I don't care if you're 11 years old or 80 years old. You've got stuff. You've got stuff you need to take out of the dark. So would you allow God to show it? Would you acknowledge it? Would you repent of it? And when you say, God, I can't do it on my own, bring the light. Would you begin to call that thing out for what it is? Would you begin to confess that thing for what it is? Would you begin to repent of that thing for what it is and know that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, forgives you for all sin, and leads you into a life of light and freedom and truth? And I want you to know that the power of shame that you carry for those sins, they will never be broken unless you share them. And so you need to find brothers and sisters in your life that you can come alongside and you can bear their burden and you can hand them yours. And as you begin to share that shame, as you begin to share that pain, I am here to tell you today that the Word of God declares that that's where we find cleansing, is when we share. So it's great to be forgiven, and it's better to be cleansed. So drop this Insta-sham life. We're going to go into a time of worship, celebration, singing. My wife, Susan, and Kara, they'll dismiss you here in just a moment. But if you've got something you need to share with someone today, don't delay. The longer you delay, the less likely it is that you'll do it. Share. Be surprised at what you discover when you walk in the light.